Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Wherever you are, this is the Interpreter's Workshop Podcast. I'm Tim Curry, your host. Here we talk everything sign language interpreting. The ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the sideways of interpreting. If you're a student, a new interpreter, experienced interpreter, this is the place for you. If you want to know more, go to interpretersworkshop.com. Let's start talking interpreting. And now, the quote of the day by Irish poet and writer William Butler Yeats. Education is not the filling of a pot, but the lighting of a fire. In today's episode, we hear from you. A couple of you have sent me their thoughts on a few questions that I asked. This is the reason why I do this podcast, to light that fire, to motivate, to inspire us, to give us something more to think about, to feel that understanding of what is the interpreting profession. Are we alone? Am I the only one that thinks this? Am I the only one that has trouble with these decisions? Am I the only one that thinks I can't do it? So today, we'll hear some answers from two people who listen often. And if you want to answer some questions too, or just give me your thoughts, click on the links in the show notes. Send me your message. Email me your message. Either way, I would love to share it with everyone. And to go further with this thought of why we do this podcast together, it goes with the second quote by American author and poet Maya Angelou. When you learn, teach. When you get, give. We're not alone. We are all interpreters. So we learn and we teach each other. We share what we're given. And the last quote by Helen Hayes, award-winning American actress. The expert in anything was once a beginner. We can do this. You can do this. Together, we do more. Let's get started. I asked these listeners three questions. The first question, what is one of the biggest challenges you have when it comes to working as a sign language interpreter? From the USA, we have Jill.
The biggest challenge I face as an interpreter is that I am a quote-unquote seasoned interpreter, but the younger interpreters are like, these old dogs got to go away. And I think the challenge is that I didn't realize how, I don't want to say discrimination, but really it's ageism, right? Like I'm getting more seasoned and people want younger interpreters and they want, even applying for a job now, it's harder to even get an interview, I've noticed, now that I've been in the field for a little over 3 decades, which I love interpreting and I'm not giving it up. I will retire out of this field. So I don't think our field is the only field who experiences this. I have another friend that works in another field and she is experiencing it the same thing. So, but she's in the same job. She didn't switch jobs like I switched jobs. So that is one of the biggest challenges. So the second biggest challenge is there's not as much of a sense of community that there used to be, right? Technology changed, our world changed. And I really enjoyed that aspect of the field. I didn't realize how much I missed that sense of community that no longer exists. And I don't think it just doesn't exist in the interpreting field, right? There used to be deaf clubs. And so you used to go hang out at the deaf clubs or even just general gatherings of deaf people, right? Our technology with video phones changed that. The technology with FaceTime and other, you know, social media platforms change that. And so I miss it. I miss the community. And I don't just miss the community as a sign language interpreter, but I miss the community as a whole right now.
some true feelings from Jill. Have you felt ageism in our profession? How do we offset that? How do we get that old versus young, new versus experienced? How do we come together as an interpreting community? I think that goes with her questions about where did the community go? Where did that feeling of camaraderie, that connection that we had not only with the deaf community, not only to develop our skills, but to understand those who we serve, to be friends with and gain trust and a mutual confidence in the work and the practice that we do. Perhaps the feeling of a lost community or a lack of community influences how we see each other as new interpreters versus experienced interpreters. Bringing sign language interpreters together, as well as sign language interpreters and deaf individuals in one community, would help us with any of these feelings, an us versus them dilemma. Some wonderful insight from Jill. Thank you. And from the UK, we have Jay, a written form from Jay that I am reading. I think my biggest challenge is overcoming fear. Imposter syndrome is, of course, a recognized trait in sign language interpreters, but I think it goes beyond that to a deeper-seated fear of failure. There's probably a whole therapy episode to explore where that comes from. This impacts many aspects of my work, but particularly in maintaining a comfort zone and or pushing my boundaries. I guess it also works as a motivator to ensure I am as prepared as possible, which in turn helps me to try to be the best interpreter I can be. But I definitely have turned down bookings that I probably could have done well because of fear, particularly of the unknown. This is something I have had to try and overcome and is a daily challenge, especially if I find myself in a new situation. However, as time goes on and I have a more developed fund of knowledge and more positive experiences, my level of confidence has improved and I do take more risks, quote unquote, with my booking choices. Jay from the United Kingdom brings up a good point. It's normal for us all to have fear when we start something new. So new interpreters, even students, worry about the same thing. They have fear about whether or not we can do this. They understand the implications of making mistakes, of breaking ethical codes, the problems of getting stuck in a moral dilemma, whether or not they'll make the right choices, the right decisions, even the right signs. There's the fear of rejection by the deaf community because of a mistake we made or just the way we interpret or sign. And as we continue to work, we become a little more confident. Like Jay said, we get a little more experience and we understand much more about the real world of the interpreting interaction. We all face these challenges. We all face this fear, not just in interpreting. How do we overcome that? I think that is for another episode. But the first steps are exactly what Jay said. Get ready to step out of your comfort zone. Because as an interpreter, we work with people, and it's not always comfortable. And the more we work in that uncomfortable place, the more we become comfortable. The more we understand the situation, the more we are comfortable with our interpreting process, with our own skills, then when we face a dilemma, a moral or ethical choice or a decision, or even just uncomfortable situations, we are starting our stress level lower because we're not worried about our skills as an interpreter or even our experience. And so that's one reason why it gets better the more we do it. Great observations, Jay. Thank you. A big thank you to everyone who shares this podcast with a colleague and friend. If you want to support the show even more, check out the show notes for links to buy me a coffee, because it's very embarrassing to fall asleep during an interview. Thank you. Let's go back. And now let's go to the second question. What was one of the most memorable moments from the podcast for you? This time we have Camilla from Poland, and then Jill from the US, and back to Jay from the UK. I did not mean to rhyme like that, but I did. I will be using my own voice for Jay again.
So first name which comes to my mind is Marty Taylor. All of her episodes, all of her insights was just amazing. But one I remember especially when she was speaking about soft skills of interpreters, that kind of caught my attention for longer. And I was then reminding myself that and thinking about the soft skills, that you are not really just a person who is working with a language as a tool. You really go into interpreting as a whole person. And she was also speaking about good attitude of interpreter and this how easy to work you are as a person, that this is important, or of course are you responsible as well, but at the same time flexible. Are you not just a person from 9 to 5 and you will just not speak after 5?
Again, we come back to professionalism, soft skills, experience that matters for a whole holistic interpreting practice.
Hey, Tim. It's not one thing about the podcast in Padini. It's about all of the interpreters that you have interviewed from all of these other countries face the same challenges and struggles that I face in the country that I live in currently. And so for me, it was more of an aha. Like, we are one large community of interpreters. Really, our heart is, for the most part, all in the right place. We want to serve deaf people. And unfortunately, I don't have a good memory anymore, but there was one person that said, like, in one of the countries, and it was a woman, and she said that deaf people have an X number of allotted hours of interpreters to use for the year. And that was just a shocker for me, because I was like, what? Like, how could somebody only pick and choose that they wanted interpreters for their doctor's appointments? Let's say they have an ongoing medical thing, or they wanted to pick them for employment, which has so many socioeconomic impacts to their life, but they are only allotted so many hours in the year for interpreting services from the country. And I was like, how do you make those choices? Those are really hard choices to make.
Yes, we learn so much from each other. Even seasoned interpreters can be shocked to learn things from other fellow interpreters. And it reminds us that in the lives of those we serve, many barriers and obstacles have to be endured. And the more we learn about those barriers to access, those limitations that they have to live with, the better professionals we become. Professionals with a heart of understanding, trust, and reliability. I loved the episode on names and name signs, episode 85. I found it a really insightful exploration of something that is so commonplace we rarely even think about it, and yet it carries so many complexities. It's very easy to be thrown in an interpretation by a name sign, especially when you may not even be aware that it is a name sign. You're just aware of something was signed that did not really have relevance to the conversation, or did I miss it? Did I get that wrong? It can put all sorts of confusion gremlins into your head. If you're feeling a little outside of the comfort zone, then it can be a challenging one to recover from. That's without even getting on to how to pronounce names. So yes, a really thought-provoking episode. Sometimes we have to really analyze our interpreting practice. All aspects of what we do needs to be reviewed, thought about, perhaps even journaled, so we can see patterns that we are doing. Perhaps there are habits that are preventing us to develop further, or there is some aspect of our skills that we need to work on and haven't quite noticed it yet. Name signs are just one of those things that we don't think about in depth as much as we should. Thank you to all the hundreds of people following this podcast. If you want to hear from interpreters around the world and get the latest episodes, follow the podcast in your app. Just check out some of the links in the show notes to help you with that. Thank you. Now let's go back. And the third question, what one perspective of yours about sign language interpreting has changed since you first started interpreting? Again, we have all three replies from Camilla in Poland, Jill in the USA, and Jay from the United Kingdom. See what I did there? Yeah. So let's listen to their answers.
When I started working as interpreter, I think I didn't see interpreters community as a source of support, as a group of people who are really need. I think back in that time was a bit different because there was not that much assignments and interpreters were more competitive between each other. And I think also me as a young person, I just thought I'm so independent and I can manage myself. And now during all these years, I think much more I see and appreciate friendship with other interpreters and this openness to talk about our tough moments, difficult decisions, but also joy of interpreting and this kind of peer support, fellow support is very important to me now. This was not when I was a young baby interpreter.
This touches on what Jill has said earlier, all about community. We need to remember that. Community is important, not only for learning from each other, but to feel that support.
What has changed for me is what I will and will not interpret anymore. What do I mean by that? So I think I was more rigid in the beginning as an interpreter, and I see more of a gray area in interpreting than I used to. For example, I would have never taken an appointment where I knew that a woman was dealing with having to make the choice to have an abortion or not, because I didn't want them to have the abortion. But my perspective now as a woman in this world where our bodies are being litigated and what we can do with our bodies, I very much will take those appointments. And I have, because I've been an interpreter in some of those situations, I have more compassion for the choices that they're having to make for their own personal life. And I think I'm more flexible in terms of, I don't get to force my values on somebody else. But it's already challenging enough for a deaf person to find an interpreter for whatever it is, right? Because so many interpreters won't do this or they won't do that. And so I try to see it more of, I'm willing to interpret for you because you need the communication access. This is not about my belief system or what I would or wouldn't do. I'm not in their shoes. I need to give them access.
When we all started, we were afraid to take assignments that we thought we were not ready for. And that's a good thing. We should use caution, being very careful to accept assignments that we are not ready for, that we are not qualified to do. However, as we become more experienced and seasoned, we need to make sure that we're not doing it only because we don't want to, only because it might make us feel uncomfortable because it's not what we believe, it's not what we would do, it's not of interest to us. Jill makes a great point. It's about access, their access, going beyond the barriers, having a heart, knowing that it's about them and not about us. Great thoughts. When I was going through my training, I remember thinking that all qualified interpreters were amazing, confident, able to work and adapt to any situation. Then I got my purple, a trainee badge, then yellow, qualified badge, joined the interpreting community and realized that actually we are all human. Everyone makes mistakes and hopefully learns from them. Lots of colleagues question their abilities and are insecure. And even the most well-qualified and experienced colleagues get it wrong sometimes. And that's all okay. We repair, we reflect, we regroup, we retrain, and pick ourselves up and carry on trying to do the best we can. I remember reading somewhere that when you are qualified, you are just in the foothills with your boots on, ready to make that climb. Nearly 7 years on and still climbing. Thanks, Tim. Keep calm and keep podcasting. Yes, that age-old problem, comparing ourselves to others, assuming that we are not as good as they are, that they obviously are almost perfect. They don't have the problems we do. We all know this is useless to think about, but we still feel that sometimes, don't we? But once we realize that we're doing it, that's when it starts to change. And that comes with experience and community. This was a wonderful episode to put together, hearing from others what they think, how they feel, and what they're doing in their part of the world. I'd love to hear from each of you. Click on the links in the show notes to send me that voicemail or send me an email. Give me your thoughts. There were some common threads today in these comments, these answers, in this conversation we were having. We all fear something. Becoming a professional, working on our people skills, our soft skills, our professional skills is all part of developing as a professional sign language interpreter. And we learn those skills from each other. And the best way to do that is with community. Find your community. We have one here, but where you are, find that community, the deaf community and the sign language interpreting community. Grow together so that we can stop comparing each other, but learning who we are and how we each are going through the same things. So let's bring each other together in this worldwide community of sign language interpreters, where we can learn and grow that much faster, that much stronger. And keep lighting that fire, giving yourself that inspiration, that motivation, the passion for our profession. And when you do learn something or you get something, give it back. Teach another. Share it. Because remember, you were once a beginner, and those who are teaching you, who are showing you, who are leading by example, they're only there because they started as a beginner. So until next time, keep calm, keep community interpreting. I'll see you next week. Take care now.